Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's good to be with you again today. I will remind you again, as I do every week, that if you ever would want a copy of any of our programs, they are free. The CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get into our Bible study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we continue our journey through what is recorded by John in the book of Revelation, Lord, dealing with the tribulation period. Some frightening events that are here, no doubt. Lord, they are recorded as a warning from you to the human race so that people will know what's coming on the face of the earth, that judgment that will come upon the world. Lord, you gave a warning in Noah's day. You give warnings in our day of what's coming. Lord, I just pray that hearts will heed the warning. Lord, that they would turn to Christ, come to know him as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray you'll use the message today. There's no power of mine that can be useful. Lord, I surrender this to you. Pray it goes out in the power of your might. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be with you today. Let me give you a couple reminders before I get to the program today, to our study. I always tell you that our CDs are free, and they are. All you need to do is write to us, as I said. But if you are computer savvy and you want to get on our website, all of these are already archived on there from whenever I preached them in the church. And so all you would need to do would be go on our website and go into the book studies, and you'll find the study of Revelation, and they are all listed there. Matter of fact, this is study number 46, so that'll kind of give you an idea of where we're at in that study if you wanted to click on and get that. The audio's there, the hard copy of the notes, or if you desire, you can, our live stream's there, and also you can go to YouTube, the YouTube channel. That's under Pastor Keith Showalter, and that'll bring up a lot of the sermons on the YouTube channel also. So we try to get all of that loaded up on there. So that's available for you. Okay, so today I'm going to ask you to open your Bible, if you would. Open up to Revelation chapter 8. That's where we will be today. And we're currently looking at the trumpet judgments recorded in this chapter. And we will continue where we stopped last week. But before I do, I want to give you a few thoughts to consider from what we have already looked at in this chapter. So let me borrow your mind for a second, if I could. In the Bible, we can read over and over again about God's view of idolatry. God hates idolatry. When God gave the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments were against idolatry. Exodus 20, 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4 say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Verse 4 says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Then in Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 5, we read this: "If there be found among you within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then thou shalt bring forth the man or the woman which have committed that wicked thing unto the gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die." These verses help us to understand how much God hates idolatry. And so in our world today, our nation is deep into idolatry. It's everywhere. And it's going to increase as the world moves toward the tribulation period. Idols of today, there are many of them. I couldn't even begin to name them all. Such things as money and possessions of all sorts, sports, entertainment, even the earth is an idol to many. And in the tribulation period that the world's going to go into, God is going to reach out to all of those that are left behind, that are in idolatry. He's going to reach out after the rapture because it is his desire that they will turn to Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God's extension of his grace will be through the testimony of the two witnesses, as well as the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish men who will be missionaries. God will also work through the three sets of judgments which will come upon the earth, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, or the vials. In Revelation 6, we looked at how God will send the seal judgments, and one of the purposes of them is to turn the earth, turn the earth dwellers to Jesus Christ. But even in the midst of the six judgments, which we looked at, many will refuse to repent and accept Christ as Savior. Revelation 6:15 through 17, listen to these verses. And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So here they are in the tribulation. They're not there yet. But whenever that day comes, and here you have people from all walks of life, kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, bondmen, free men. They hide themselves in the rocks and the mountains. And it's interesting, they will cry out to the rocks and the mountains to follow them, but they will not cry out to God for salvation. And the purpose, one of the purposes of the judgment is to bring people to Christ. They're also for the purpose of purging the earth in preparation of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. The judgments will rid the earth of all those who reject the salvation of God. Isaiah 13:6-9 say this, how ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. God, when the smoke of the tribulation clears at the end, and a kingdom begins, as Christ establishes his kingdom, there will not be one unsaved person that will enter into that kingdom. Not one. Everybody that goes in will be saved. Now, I stop and I think about that, and I say this, that God could just bring one swift judgment and destroy all those who are left after the rapture, but he will not, for he's long-suffering. He won't do that. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be saved during the tribulation. God will bring these judgments upon the face of the earth, the seal judgments, and then he will bring the trumpet judgments. And what people need to realize is that they're going to be related to the sin which men will be submersed into, the idolatry. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So these judgments are connected directly to the sin. Trumpet judgment number one that we've already looked at will be hailstones. Watch verse 7 of chapter 8. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. I told you that no doubt this is in the form of a stoning that'll come because of the idolatry that'll exist in the earth. Trumpet judgment number two comes in verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain as a burning fire, mountain burning with fire, Let me read that again. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. This is probably a large asteroid or supernatural rock of some sort that'll slam into the sea, causing a third of the aquatic life and the ships to be destroyed, along with a third of the sea will be turned to blood. Now, let me give you something to think about. The blood in the first trumpet and the blood here, because there's blood mixed with the hail and the fire in the first trumpet, and then the blood here, the sea, third part of the ships were destroyed. Let me go back here. A third part of the sea became blood. So the first two trumpets both have blood incorporated into them, and I believe it's very significant, very significant. Listen what John recorded concerning the religious system that will exist under the Antichrist in Revelation 17, 4 through 6. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Okay, so that woman is Mystery Babylon. That is the religious Babylon. That is the false worship system of the tribulation period. Okay, and so she is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Listen to what I'm going to say. Many of the earth dwellers will reject the offer of Jesus Christ, and they will slaughter true believers, which is referred to here as being drunk with their blood. They will reject the cleansing blood of Christ, and so God will give them blood from the sky and in the sea. Eventually, their fresh water will turn to blood. Revelation 16:6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and now it's given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So the judgments that fall are directly in correlation with the sins that are committed. So this blood that comes from the sky, the sea turning to blood, eventually the fresh water supply being turned to blood, that all is connected to the slaughter of God's people during the tribulation period, of the saints during the tribulation period. Trumpet judgment number 3, watch verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters, because they were made bitter. Here in these verses, there's a great star, and it's called Wormwood, because of the bitterness, and it falls to the earth, and it lands on a third part of the fresh water supply, and it turns the water bitter, and many men die because of the judgment. And the connection here, now listen to this, is that the earth dwellers, those that are on the earth at this time, rejected the living water offered by Jesus Christ. Therefore, they're given bitter waters to drink. You see that? Remember what I said? The judgments are in direct correlation with the sin. They rejected the living water, now they get the bitter water. They shed the blood of the martyrs, they get blood from the sky and in the sea and eventually in their fresh water supply. Brings me to trumpet judgment number 4. Watch verse 12. And a fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So to the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So let me just give you this, and then I'll go on. This is a supernatural event, by the way. But it says a third part of the day shone not. The sun didn't shine for a third part of the day. So a third part of the day would be 8 hours. So we have about 8 hours a night, and then we have roughly, I don't know, 12 to 16 hours of daylight, something around there, depending on the time of the year. But longer than that, if you get into summertime, you can go 16 hours easily of daylight. So what you're going to have in this time, what the world will have is they will have only 8 hours of light. There will be 16 hours of darkness. When his trumpet's blown, a third part of the heavens are smitten. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are darkened. We can't even begin to explain what's going to happen and how this is going to work. But I'll say this. A lot of people teach that this is not literal, but it's figurative. It's a hyperbole. They ask how one-third of these heavenly bodies could be darkened. But I say this, with God, all things are possible. And I think it's foretold in the Old Testament, and I think it's literal. This is a literal judgment, just like all these judgments. They're not figurative. It's not allegory. They are literal judgments. I gave you a warning. You got to be careful with breaking the bands of literal interpretation, because when you do, the sky's the limit. Isaiah 13, 9 through 13, listen to this. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Ezekiel 32, 5 through 8. I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. The bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. Acts 2, 19 and 21. And I will show wonders in heaven above and in signs of the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, from all those verses that I read, who would doubt if God would be able to darken one third? Let me show you what happened. Let me read for you what happened in Egypt. You think God can't divide the darkness and the light? Exodus 10, 21 through 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. See how he divided that? He divided it. So listen to me. This is a literal judgment that will come. The heavens will be smitten. I'm going to read verse 12 again. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, in the night likewise. That is a literal judgment that is coming upon this world. How God will do it, I don't know. How will he smite a third part of the sun? How will he smite a third part of the moon? How will he smite a third part of the stars? I don't know, but he will do it. And darkness will increase on the land. Makes me think about this during that time, even in our day. The men love darkness rather than light. And then that day, that love will be increased for darkness. Because their deeds that they do in the darkness are evil. And they love to do them in the darkness. And so it is darkness they desire, it'll be darkness that they get. There's more of this to come as the tribulation will continue to move on toward the great, toward the end and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the millennial kingdom. But what I want you to understand is that this is a literal darkness. Now, let me get you the message which God is sending with this judgment. When Jesus is preached among the nations during the tribulation, the offer will be of, number one, the forgiveness of sins and escape from the eternal judgment. John 3:18, verse 36 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In the midst of all of this, God is working not only just to purge the earth, to get ready for the kingdom, but he's also reaching out to the lost, and he's offering to them through the gospel that is preached the forgiveness of sin and the escape from eternal judgment. This judgment here is just it's a temporary judgment, but the judgment that is to come when they die in their sins is an eternal judgment. The second offer is of living water. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The waters of the world are going to turn bitter. They're going to turn bitter. They're going to be full of blood. God says, I got a better water. I have a better water. And so in the midst of this, he's wanting people to turn to him because he's offering the living water. Number three, he's offering the bread of life. John 6:33-35 says this, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In the tribulation period, food will become very scarce. Many will die of famines. Third part of the sea is smitten, takes away much of the food supply that comes from the sea. Third part of the ships which transport food and goods are destroyed. Food will be very rare, very difficult to find. God says, I have a food. I have a bread. I have a bread for you that'll give you life. That is the bread of life, Jesus Christ, my Son. God offers to them the light which will disperse darkness. John 8:12, then Jesus again said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Those who reject the light in the tribulation period are going to find themselves in physical darkness. In physical darkness. And here a third part of the sun and the moon and the stars is smitten. And the day doesn't shine for a third part of it. God says, I have a light which will disperse the darkness. That light is my Son. If you will come and you will receive him as your Savior. Let me bring you back to chapter 8, verse 13. Watch the warning. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. This angel alerts the inhabitants of the of heaven and earth as to the severity of the next three trumpet judgments. The triple woe means that what is coming is far more severe than the earth dwellers have already seen. Let me show you something which Joel recorded. Joel 2:10-13. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Keep that in mind. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide in it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. The army spoken of in Joel chapter 2, verse 11, is most likely what we shall see in Revelation 9. It'll be a demonic army that'll be loosed from the pit of hell. There is only one way to escape the judgments that are coming, and that is through Christ. Jesus, John 14:6, Jesus' own words, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't know where you're at in your life, but I know this. I know the direction our world's going. And I know that God loves you and that God desires for you to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. I know that. That's what he wants. He longs for you to be saved. And so he continues to extend the offer of grace. But if you continue to reject, he will say, my will is for you to save. Nevertheless, your will be done. And if you reject him, he will let you go. He will let you go, and if you die in your sins, you will forever, forever be tormented in the lake of fire. You need Christ. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, our CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Include the date of the program you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.